Good evening. Can you hear me? Amriah, can you hear me? I'm just kidding. I love you. It's good to be back with you this morning. See, I said it again. I said it last night, and I'll say it again, and I'll probably say it tomorrow, and I'll say it the next night and the night after that. It's good to be with you this evening. First of all, I love the way that this evening started. First of all, Roger, you still got it. I look over at Penny, and hey, man, if it's still been a while, you still got it. I look over at Penny, and I see her face, and I'm like, man, she's loving everything. I wish you could see her face. It's awesome. And you know, I love the song choices. Cornerstone. Listen, all these things that we're talking about over the next several, what we've talked about, what we're talking about the next one, two, three nights is our cornerstone. It's developing that foundation. You know, sometimes we just need to go back to the basics and learn who God is. Sometimes we want to jump right into it, and find all the fine details, but really we need to learn who God is before we can develop a deeper relationship with him. We need to realize what he's done for us. That's our cornerstone. Christ is our cornerstone. I love it. So I'm grateful for everything that you guys started off, and it's awesome. I love it. Tonight we're going to talk about another character, I guess you could say. As Roger said, yesterday morning we talked about how he is the king. Anyone want to tell me what we talked about last night? He's the teacher. He's that teacher we've always wanted. Most likely, he's the teacher we never really had. And tonight's character and persona and quality of Jesus is, to be honest, is one of those characteristics that every great leader should have. When you look at in your own lives, and you think of the people that have had the most influence on you, I can almost guarantee, not 100%, that there's one characteristic that each of them carry. It's a servant's heart. See, our third characteristic is Christ as a servant. And we're gonna kind of dissect servant a little bit, break it down a little bit. Before we do that, let's take some time and pray and kind of really soften our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this evening, this opportunity we have again to be in your house, to learn a little bit more about you. Lord, I think this is one of your greatest qualities. You were the greatest example that we could ever have. You were the servant to all. I pray that you will be with this message. Lord, I pray that you will be the words, you will be the message tonight, Lord, because you know that I've got things prepared, I've got things rolling through my mind, I've thought about it all day of how I wanted to piece things together, and Lord, I realize that none of that really even matters because when I have my hands on the wheel, most likely I'll crash. So Lord, I pray that you will take the wheel. That you will bring a message that you want us to hear. pray that one, if only one person hears this message and is changed, that's all I ask for. So I pray you will open our hearts to what you have for us. And you will be in this place tonight. We love you so much, and we thank you for being our very best friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, he is a servant. As I've done before, and I'll do it again. When you think of a servant, let's ask this, what is a servant? Someone that serves, right? It's kind of hard to give a definition for a servant, isn't it? Without actually giving a servant. You know, a helper. I looked it up because I'm not very good with definitions. As we talked about yesterday, I'm not very good at school. I looked up what a servant was according to the dictionary because Lord knows the dictionary knows all. Actually, no, that's not true. Google knows all. Just kidding. Or if you have Apple, Siri, that's beside the point. It says, one that performs duties for the person or home of a master or personal employer. In short, they're one who serves others. So what are some examples of some people that serve that are classified as servants? Public servants? Old school? Butlers, maids. Waitresses, waiters, hired hands. This one might make you chuckle. Ready for this? Parents? I got nothing out of that. Come on. Come on. Look, I could say that because I'm a dad. Got three kiddos. And yeah. Dad's got a funny story about that one. Well, I'll leave that's for another day. In retrospect, though, we as parents, we need to be servants. Now, I'm not saying wait on your children hand and feet, like, oh, get me another juice. Whatever you say, Master. Yes, read me another book. Yes, Master. Whatever you say so that you will keep your mouth shut. Yes. Yes, peacekeeper. The parent was kind of a joke, okay? So I'm glad you kind of laughed. Sometimes you, as an employee, you feel like a servant, right? Supervisor says, hey, go do this. I have a guy at work, sometimes I feel like a servant to him because he's like, hey, go sweep the stones. Why do I need to sweep the stones? I'm serious. I'm not joking you in any way, shape, or form. I've heard that sentence come out of his mouth. So those are some people that we think of as servants. Now, in all of those instances, each individual has a common, goal, right? Serving others, certain characteristics that they follow. First one is they don't seek service for themselves. See, servants aren't, I don't know about you, but I couldn't be a servant. I could serve myself. I can sit down and feed myself a meal, but I don't necessarily classify myself as a servant. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it makes sense. That's okay. I don't really make sense myself. But they focus on those around them. They aim to serve others. Quite honestly, that's exactly what Jesus calls us to do, is to serve others. If you want to, you can turn to Mark 10 with me. Mark 10, 35 through 45. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and this is what they said. Then James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So a servant's main goal is to serve others. That's what Jesus told his disciples to do. Not to stay self-focused and focused on your goals, but to be able to, we said about this as a teacher too, but to have perspective, to realize your surroundings, the needs that are around you, and being willing to serve others. Jesus did that all the time. Another characteristic is not to propose to do his own will. Okay? Not to impose that his own will, his own tasks, it's essentially the same thing. Luke 6, 35 through 40. Sorry, not Luke. John 6. John 6, 35 through 40. It says, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." See, for Jesus, he was doing his Father's will. He came down to love us. He came down to die for us. Fairly certain that Jesus was not exactly excited with the fact that he had to die on the cross for us. Sure, the conversation, if there even was a conversation, between he and the Father was not like, "Jesus, you've got a burden to bear. We want to save these people that we love, these people that we've created. But these people are horrible. How can we save them? How can we give the ultimate sacrifice?" I I'd imagine that Jesus was not saying, oh, that sounds dying on the cross, being beaten to death. That sounds like a good option. I don't know about you, but that doesn't exactly sound like fun to me. We know that because, quite frankly, in the garden, he asked for it to be taken away. He was looking for the opportunity to not have to do it, because that's like, Jesus knew what was coming. But here's the thing. He accepted the burden. He accepted the burden for us because he knew that the ultimate sacrifice needed to be paid. He's the only one that could pay it. He was serving us by doing that. Another characteristic of a servant is one who does not promote himself. One who does not put himself on a pedestal. One who does not try and place himself above others. I think that's, when it comes to leadership, I think that's huge, because those are the ones that are most setting the most example. There, you can see their hearts through their actions. You know where you are called to go. For some odd reason, my mind is scattered. The goal of a servant is not to place himself higher than others. It's not about a title. Jesus didn't want a title. He told his disciples many times that they needed to become lesser than those around them. Luke 22, 24 through 30 says, A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The king of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like them. Instead, the greatest among you should be the youngest, the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you as you a kingdom, but as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Jesus was the ultimate servant. And much like when you look, as I mentioned earlier, if you look into your life, there are individuals who have made the most impact on you. A characteristic when they have that servant mindset, they want to walk with you. They find the needs that you have and help and guide you towards where you need to go. So the question is, how did Jesus exemplify the perfect servant? I think one of Jesus' greatest qualities as a servant is he's willing to do the dirty work. He wasn't someone that sat up on high telling others what to do. We talked about it last night. He washed his disciples' feet. He did the dirty work. His profession before he was even in ministry was a profession where, I don't know how many of you are carpenters in the construction field, but it's not exactly a clean job. That's where he started. Sometimes he had to do some dirty work to heal others as well. Whether it was spitting in the dirt, mixing mud and putting it on the eyes of the blind. Jesus was always willing to do the hard stuff. Instead of serving out of necessity, he served with the goal of truly benefiting those he came in contact with. He always wanted people to leave better than they came. I think one of the greatest qualities is that a servant never gives up. A servant never gives up on the task that has been placed in front of him. See, Jesus never gives up on us. Jesus never wavers. He never thinks twice about loving us. He never thinks twice about letting us go. I don't know about you, but there have been many times in my life where I've fallen and I've messed up and I've disappointed people. And I feel like I've disappointed God. But just because I've messed up, just because I feel like I failed, doesn't mean he throws me away. It's the same for you. See, I don't know what's in your life. I don't know what the good is. I don't know what the junk is. I don't know what your burdens are. I don't know if you're at a point in your life where you feel like there's no turning back. I heard a coworker one time say, "Why should I go back to church? Why should I go back to God? I'm too gone. I'm too far gone. I'm too messed up." I don't remember what I said. Hindsight's 20/20. What I wish I could go back and tell him is that you may feel like God has given up on you, and you may have given up on him, but he loves you for who you are. He loves you for the good in your life. He loves you for the person that he's created you to be. Sure, there's maybe parts of your life where you failed. Maybe there's parts of your life that are big sins. I thank God every day that he doesn't judge me based upon my sins and my failures and all the times that I've fallen on my face, because if I was basing it on that, I'd be done. I have no chance. I have no hope. He's never stopped serving us. He'll never stop serving us. He'll never stop chasing after us. He wants to walk with us. So what can we do? See, Christ is our cornerstone. And as our cornerstone, he is our building blocks. He is what we look at as we grow. I could go on not a rant. This is a rabbit trail. Follow me. Do you know the Ten Commandments? Or who God wants us to be. That's the perfect person. Someone who can meet that every single day, every moment of their lives and not break it. That's who Jesus was. Jesus exemplified the Ten Commandments. He gave them to us so that we would be able to really know who he was, who he is, how he wants us to be. The reality is, none of us will ever 100% keep the Ten Commandments. I'd love to say that one day I will. I will. That one day is when I'm in heaven. While I'm on this earth, I will be an imperfect being. But to get back on task, what can we learn from Jesus as a servant? What can we do? First of all, we need to be willing to humble ourselves in order to benefit those around us. It's not always easy to be a servant. It's not always easy to step out of our boundaries and look at someone in the eyes and say, "What can I do for you? How can I serve you?" You don't have to say serve, because sometimes if you say, "How can I serve you?" people are like, "Oh, you're weird, get away from me." But what can I do to help? We always need to make things better when we leave than when we first got there. Meaning when we interact with people around us, we need to make them feel like we love them. If there's a need, if there's a moment where people need prayer, we need to be willing to pray with them. You realize that's service in its own, that's service in itself. Praying with that individual right then and there. I don't know about you, sometimes I've said, I'll pray for you. 10 minutes later, I couldn't remember that person's name. I couldn't remember what ailment they had. But the act of praying with someone is a service all its own. That's what people need. It's just to know that someone cares. Someone loves them. And ultimately, we need to be willing to answer the call. We need to be willing to answer the call because you heard those, you had those moments in your life where there's, you hear the voice in your head. People say it's conscience, right? I believe that it's more than just the conscience. In my life, I believe it's God speaking to me. Roger said earlier, he's never heard an audible voice. I can't say I've heard an audible voice, but I've definitely heard him speaking in my life. And sometimes I've ignored that call. And sometimes I've answered it. I wish I could say 100% that every time I've answered that call. But I can tell you one thing, when I have answered that call, when I have prayed with that individual who was just found out they were diagnosed with cancer, whether it was buying someone on the street some food, those are the little acts of service that people are looking for. The love of God that maybe they've never experienced before. And I pray and I challenge you that as you go into your world, that you will take at least one moment in your life each day to look at the people around you and ask yourself, what can I do to help them? What can I do to serve them? And I want you to remember and realize that in all you do, you're not alone. You're not alone because the ultimate servant is walking right beside you. And he'll guide you and he'll protect you. There is a song I want to sing. And it's a song that I think really, if none of this makes any sense, which to be honest with you, it might not. It's a song, quite frankly, it was a song that was mentioned to me last night. And it's a Josh Turner song. A song called Me and God. And in this song, it talks about how nothing in this world that we do can't do any of it on our own. The breath we breathe, the life we live, could not be lived without God living in us. I want to encourage you, even those who don't necessarily know that God's with them, still has God living right beside them. The beautiful thing about God is that he's always with us. I always find it ironic how sometimes we pray, Lord, be with us tonight. What's he going to do, leave? He's been with us all the time. It's whether or not we're willing to accept him. Whether we're willing to see him. And I pray, I wish I had music to the song, but like usual, I'm it's a cappella is the way I go. I do have to look at the words because Roger understands once you don't sing it a whole lot, sometimes you don't always remember the words. So I pray that this speaks to you. I pray that this touches you in one way, shape, or form. But this is Me and God by Josh Turner. There ain't nothing that can't be done by me and God. Ain't nobody gonna come between me and God. One day we'll live together where the angels shroud, me and God. Early in the morning talking it over, me and God. Late at night talking it over, me and God. You could say we're like two peas in a pod, me and God. He's my father and he's my friend, the beginning and the end. He rules the world with a staff and a rod. We're a team, me and God. I am weak and he is strong, me and God. He forgives me when I'm wrong, me and God. He's the one I lean on when life gets hard, me and God. And he's my father and he's my friend, the beginning and the end. He rules the world with a staff and a rod. We're a team, me and God. He rules the world with a staff and a rod. We're a team, me and God. We're a team, me and God. And you see, that's the beautiful thing about it. That's the beautiful thing about God, is that he's always with us. He's always serving us. He's always by our side. I love those lines. Early in the morning, talking it over, me and God. Late at night, talking it over, me and God. All day. We need to stay connected. And I pray that if you take nothing else from what I've said tonight, pray that you realize that God's always walking beside you in the good, in the bad. He's holding your hand. He's there to serve you. He's there to love you. And it's not that he's told to do this. He wants you. He loves you. And I pray that if it doesn't click now, I pray one day it'll make sense. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for bringing us together this evening. I thank you for always being with us, for always guiding us, for always protecting us. I pray for each individual in this house tonight, Lord. I pray that each individual realizes that you're with them all the time. That you'll never leave them. That you're there for them. I pray they find your love. I pray that if there's one here that's never experienced your love, I pray that they find it. That they search it out. We thank you so much for coming on this earth and showing us what a true servant is. For showing us how we need to act and who we need to be with those around us. We love you so much, and we thank you again for being with us this evening. We love you. We praise you and we thank you for being our very best friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all. See y'all tomorrow.